Welcome back to King Kong Radio. I am sitting in RT Studios today with the one and only Simon Fagan, who has a new album out. Just came out about a week ago, was it?
That's right.
About a week ago, called Outside Looking In, was RTE's album of the week. He's won numerous awards. It's such an honor to have this guy in the studio. He's going to play a couple songs for us. Simon, how are you doing?
Great. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the awards you've just won.
A few weeks ago, we got word from the International Songwriting Competition, which is it's a competition in America, which an annual competition for songwriters. And there are different kind of categories within the competition. So there were 15,000 applicants and
15,000.
We got word. One of my songs, Never Really Cried, won the performance category of it. So naturally, we were absolutely over the moon, you know. And then about a week later, we got word from an LA website that the current single from the album, Damn Honey, was awarded Song of the Month on the website Songwriter Universe.
Wow.
So, it was a great encouragement, you know, particularly that was just before the album came out. So it was great. Yeah.
That's just incredible.
Mm,
and the album's doing fantastic here. You have a few tour dates coming up.
You're sure,
playing
yeah.
tomorrow in Happy Valley.
Uh-huh.
You're playing the Happy Valley Festival, the Flat Lake Festival. You're playing Crane Lane on June 10th.
Yeah.
Taste of Dublin in Ivy Gardens.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Festival of World Cultures, June 24th. And what is it, the Milk Festival after that?
The Milk Festival, I think that's
it's
sometime in August, isn't
gay
it?
It's Lesbian Festival.
Yeah, I think that's the 14th. Of August,
can you
I think
say
it
that
is.
Without smiling?
I know, I know. It's funny.
It implies like this festival, like just people happy.
Well, I smiled.
Gay and lesbian festival.
I smiled more when someone said to me, "How would you like to do kind of a gig with Right Said Fred and Bananarama?"
Yeah,
I just laughed. No, this is a gay festival, you know. They're like, yeah. It's like, oh, great. Okay, that'd be great fun, you know. So, so it should be great. Yeah.
Now, last year you did a tour of like, was it Iraq?
It was, well, we did three tours in the UK and we did a tour of Egypt.
That's it.
Mm,
what was that like?
That was amazing.
How did your music come across there?
Really well. Actually, a lot better than first anticipated because I think it's, you know, it's a weird one to kind of explain. The best way I suppose I could explain it is, if you can imagine Egypt being the gates between East and West, so they're kind of stuck in limbo. I think because of their moral and cultural values, they are very much kind of attached to the East. But they want to be socially Western. You know, and they love the Western culture, and therefore that's where the music slotted in. And as a result, you know, when we were playing in the big cities, Cairo, you know, it was absolutely amazing. We were playing 3.5 hour shows, like straight through, and you know, it was unbelievable. You know, we played in a place called the Jazz Club, which is quite a famous venue in Egypt. It's where all the kind of TV presenters and the kind of upper class of society kind of mingle, and so they have a great the best of kind of musicians playing there. They come up from Oman, they come from all the neighboring countries, to play in this venue. But we were playing there anyway, and. After the gig, we were having a beer at the bar, and this lady came up to us, and she introduced herself, and she was actually a TV presenter, but not any TV presenter. Her actual show was the daytime TV show that like everyone looked at in Cairo. Now, when I say everyone, there's population 27 million people in Cairo. That's like at night time. Then there's a further 5 to 6 million who commute in and out of the city. So she's got a viewership of like 15 million. 16, wow. maybe 15, 16 million.
That's amazing.
A day, you know. So she asked us, would we go on to her show the following morning? And we were like, yeah, no problem. Like, after playing 3.5 hours show, I could hardly speak after singing for 3.5 hours. And
you give it all in your shows. You rock
give it a go bit, you know. And so this was, oh man, this is about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, sitting at a bar, kind of down in the beers, you know yourself. So
yeah.
So anyway, we went on, cut a long story short, we went on to the TV next day. And I brought two of the guys on with me, and she interviewed us in English, and then she translated to the camera. And that night we were playing another gig in town, you know, and everyone on the street recognised us. It was
wow.
absolutely unbelievable. All these little kids, you know, in underpants and vests just running after us, wanting to kind of touch us or anything. It was quite surreal, you know.
So are you going back?
Well, we were planning to get back this year, you know, but things are so busy at the moment with the album, and there's quite a lot in the pipeline. So I think as it's happened, the reality is probably may have to push it back till next year to get over there, you know, because there's here in the UK and maybe America as well, a couple of shows over there. So there's quite a lot in the pipeline. So trying to fit in a tour, because there's a hell of a lot of preparation that goes into any tour, but particularly, you know, when you're dealing with a country like Egypt where the infrastructure really is not, you can't rely on, say, right, okay, we get a bus here, and there's, you know, you really have to kind of know what you're getting into,
yeah.
how to do it. You know, we had a fixer, you know, to kind of fix us, like, you know, a bus.
We
could
all
this.
Use a few fixers.
Yeah. So, I found myself actually coming back when we got back here to Ireland, and, you know, the recession hit and all that gloom and everything, you know, and suddenly you had a leg to stand on to start haggling, you know, because over there, like, you could haggle for a packet of cigarettes, you know.
Yeah.
And here, like, you know, I found myself, pint of Guinness, please. Yeah, that's five. You're going. I'd start at 3:50. I'll meet you halfway. You know. So you know,
you might
it
go
did.
For it too.
Yeah, they might. Maybe not for a pint of Guinness, but for some other things, I'm sure they might.
Very good. What song are you gonna play for us today?
I'm gonna play a track from the album called Plastic Compass.
Very good. And we're going to do one song from the album and a live song today.
Yeah.
This studio is fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
I can't believe we have Simon here. The Egyptian star himself. This is great. And the lines are light. I can't understand what they're saying.
All the way from Egypt.
We're dancing like Egyptians in here.
That's great. All right, cool. We're going to hear.
Okay.
What song is this again?
Plastic Compass.
Plastic Compass.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Great.
Plastic Compass gave up a mile before he joined us. I got 1 foot dug, but I'm trying hard not to get stuck. Broken white lines on a road that brings you no love. Wild-card child in a hen jokers love to play. But sooner or later, the jokers lose the way. And the sound of my cogs on a mission to cry and to stop. These weary old bones need a rest, and from the tick-tock clock. Tick-tock. But I don't care, I don't care. dragged on the side with nowhere else to go. No lies between us, no whispers, no guarantee, no. If I changed my route and I started all over again, would you be my passenger, my only friend? But I don't care, no, I don't need you. But I don't care, I don't need you. I'm driving the line, show me the way to go. Driving the line, show me the way to go. Driving the line, show me the way to go. Driving the line, show me the way to go.
No risk, no mission, no guarantee of goal, no. No risk, no mission, no guarantee of goal, no. No risk, no mission, no guarantee of goal, no. No risk, no mission, no guarantee of going home. No, no risk, no mission, no guarantee of going home. No risk, no mission, no guarantee of going home.
Got one foot dug, but I'm trying hard not to get stuck. Broken white lines on a road that brings you no luck.
Nice one, Simon. Simon, listen, have a great tour. And
thank you very much.
The album, all the success in the world. We'll talk to you soon, all right, buddy?
Thank you. Cheers, Karen. Thanks a million.
No problem. Safe to say?
Oh, around a year. Well, 1 year.
Where did the time go? Would you say Swords has a really good collective of young bands? Because you're hearing a lot more about bands coming from that area. Swords and Rush.
Yeah, there's a big rock influence on the north side nowadays. Like, you do see a lot of young bands coming out, like, especially in the last 5 years or so, there's been a lot of, like, young bands, like, a few bands have actually gone on to do pretty well, like, and are doing pretty well around the circuit, like.
What bands are from Swords?
Well, just off the top of my head, there's a few bands. I think Mescalito are one band. They're, like,
great band.
Yeah, they're really good. Blue Syndrome, I don't know.
Another great band.
There's a few, and then there's, like, 21 Demands. They went on to be, like, they got big enough. I don't know if they're still around. Yeah, they do.
Is it hard to find a showcase or shows up in Swords for young bands? I know, like, a lot of bands would come to Dublin to find more of the gigs, but say in Swords, is there a place that you would want to play to start off in?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of places now that are getting more into the music scene. There's a pub we play called The Slaughtered Lamb in Swords. It's getting into the music venue every Friday, Saturday and Sunday night, which is good. We played there last weekend. We're playing there in a couple of weeks again. And there's a few places you can rent out for the night pretty cheap and Swords. Most of the local pubs do them for free in once you get a certain amount of people in. Otherwise, that, like, it's, there is a good place, but as I said, like, most of the gigs you get are in the city centre, like, yeah. Like as here and other gigging venues around Temple Bar, places like that. That's really it.
Who would be the key songwriter in the band, or is it more of a collective?
I'd say John here has wrote a few songs. So is Collie Merrick here. Like,
we're hearing from Smiley right now.
And
Well, yeah, we all kind of write the music together, but a lot of the lyrics, someone might write one song and then the next song someone else will write it then, like, and then some songs we'll all throw lyrics in together, like, they might all come together, like.
Hazel, that would explain why there's so many influences on their MySpace. You guys have like 55 influences, and obviously it's not just one person writing the songs. You wrote a song, didn't you? Tell us about the song you wrote.
I don't know, just wrote it one day, I was bored, so, yeah.
What's the song about?
I don't really know, just...
That's the best songs are written that way. Now, we want to know here in King Kong Radio, we want to know your biggest, most embarrassing moment you ever had on stage as a band. I have a feeling you're going to answer this.
Next door.
Well, I'd say it would have to be when we were playing a song and we finished, and then the song just, I don't know, it kind of kept going and we didn't really know what to do, but the song just... We never finished it really, and we didn't know when to end. Like,
It went on a lot longer than we were supposed to. We done like a 3 or 4 minute instrumental, and we didn't know when to stop. But I think we pulled it off.
I think that's called jamming.
Well, it is jamming, but unplanned jamming, and it was good though. Like for them,
it's like pregnancy. It was unplanned, and we were embarrassed.
So use protection if you're gonna jam. No, I'm only messing. We've had a few embarrassing moments, but I don't know if we should really talk about them
on radio.
Go on.
Well, maybe just too much to drink and stuff like that, you know, some nights.
Yeah, you guys are from Swords.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. just drunken. Like, we've all had our different gigs where one of us was always too drunk and kind of fucked up a bit, but I think it's all part of the show, though, you know? Like, well, we've never really had a major embarrassment moment, though, really. Like, you know, we always seem to pull it off in the end. Like,
so the summer is on your horizon. What are your big plans?
The world's our oyster.
So you're going to Carlingford.
Where are you going, boss?
That's where the oysters are, right? Their manager sits in the corner quietly. Listen, guys, have a fantastic show, and we will see you afterwards, okay?
Thanks very much.
I've got something to show you. I pulled it out of my mind. You was for our future, but I left it behind. You walk a mile in my shoes, and I walk a mile in yours. To see my life from your eyes, your bags, both sides of this river bank, and burn out bags. You walk a mile in my shoes, and I walk a mile in yours. To see my life from your eyes, to see you from to the front line. You was the civil way to go. Yeah, I made it past that guardsman, but the guardsman don't know. You walk a mile in my shoes, and I walk a mile in yours. To see my life from your eyes, to see you from mine. His situation, see what's behind those eyes. Let's play dead for 1 minute, see through those hollow eyes. You walk a mile in my shoes, and I walk a mile in yours.
Good night, God bless.
Once again, Bradley here with King Kong Radio, RTE 2XM, filling in for the amazing Mr. Kieran Black. I am sitting here with none other than Ninja's Boots. Lads, how y'all doing?
Not too bad.
All right. Fantastic. I'm so curious. There's no way I can get around to asking you about where your name came from.
No comments.
Do we want to attack that one?
Do we tell the real story, do we not?
It's our favorite. There are many stories about where it really came from.
It's our favorite form of footwear is basically what it is. It's not something you look up.
You can buy and sell Ninja's Boots.
You can. We'll sell you a couple if you want.
We're working on a line of novelty sort of beach footwear that we're hoping that'll come out about in the summer.
We've got some Ninja's Boot flip-flops coming out in the summer.
I can fight or I can just lay around.
The last thing anyone should do is look it up on urbandictionary.com. You don't want that to happen.
Do you guys all, when you go on stage, do you wear does it have the little partition between the big toe and all the rest of the toes?
That's the idea.
It's all about the partition, isn't it?
If it kicks off, you'll see the partition. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. I'll ask you guys your names just before we continue any further.
G.
Kigo.
Sam.
Fix,
cool. And how did you guys get together under this beautiful banner?
Do you want to take this or?
Myself.
Throw it over to Fix there. There's someone licking the window.
Myself and King.
We've been jamming since 1984. we used to jam in my attic for about 6 years, and then we basically found Sam and G and. Aaron is not here, and
he's working on the groupies at the moment.
We found the singer at a gay swingers party, and he was
as you do.
Yourself. That's where you. We also met the two that are on the honeymoon at the swingers party too. So
would it be safe to say that you guys are actually hooking up on a regular basis?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
On stage.
Hold on.
What could we wait? What are we looking forward to on stage here tonight?
Oh, you're not looking forward to anything.
For God's sake,
don't do that.
Let me ask you guys, what have we been looking back to anyway? Where have you guys been playing, and how's the music scene been treating you thus far?
Well, this is actually our first proper gig, isn't it?
We're virgins, so be gentle with us.
We're actually the virgins here. If you guys are popping a cherry on us.
I'm not sure what time this is going out and how much we can say, to be honest.
You can say anything on the internet, can't you?
Being a first gig, how many tunes are we working with?
We're going to play 17 songs in 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is proper.
Including cuddling. We're going to make the Ramones look slow.
Yeah. Fantastic. And that leads us perfectly into our theme, and that is, and this has been dividing more than it has been uniting all night long. If you could open up for any famous band, alive or dead, and tour around the world in a drug-induced stupor,
I'd open up for Britney.
Who would it be?
I'm just saying.
Christina Aguilera
when she was dirty.
I think Crystal Swing. I think myself and Fix would be on Crystal Swing. They're on the RT Late Late Show.
Crystal Swing. I think Crystal Swing definitely trumps Christina Aguilera.
Well, I think that everyone would see them in a far better light if we opened up first.
This throws a whole new meaning into the word opener.
We don't know if we're taking the question seriously enough, but yeah, Crystal Swing or Crystal Meth, one or the other.
We did want some induction of inducement. Guys, fantastic to have you aboard. Can't wait to see you here in the village on Wexford Street. And Ninja's Boot is about to go on stage, lads. A fantastic pleasure. Can't wait to see you rip it up. We'll see you out there. We'll be right back.
grip, dragging me down. It makes me sick. Feel the heat on you through the eye of us. The anger comes and you can't take it. So
XM King Kong Radio. I am in the backstage with one of the most enthusiastic young bands I have ever seen back here in the green room. This is Jerome's Law. Hi, guys.
Hello. Hello.
Quick, tell me your names.
Shane.
Mark.
Jerome.
Ronan.
Adam.
Would it be safe to say that the interview should just be with you, Jerome, or is you're the one in charge, are you?
No, yeah, why not?
Guys, you have a lot of press about you. I was reading your MySpace. You have loads of people saying great stuff about you. Aiden Lynch said some wonderful stuff about you. What's the whole buzz? What's going on with you guys?
That's completely fictionalized, Chair. We bought the rights to use those names and made the quotes up ourselves.
I don't even know who Aiden Lynch is, so...
Oh, that was complete fiction. We made him up entirely.
Who's the key songwriter in the band? And what would you say is your biggest influence?
Songwriting.
For the band?
Oh, for the band, boredom, probably.
just straight up boredom, is it?
Yeah, I write songs when I have nothing else to do, which is most of the time, so.
That's very good. Do you go to school?
I did. Not anymore, though. I'm finished with that.
Interesting. Guys, what are your plans for this summer?
To play as many gigs to as many people as possible.
That's a great plan. And what songs are you going to play for us tonight?
We don't know. We might just, we might make some up.
We might decide when we're up there. We're not really sure.
Adam knows, I think.
The first things that come to mind, I suppose.
Now, I've made a unilateral decision. I've decided on the set list. This is what's happening tonight, because it's going on the radio. We're going to play a song called Open Eyes. We're going to play another one called Let It Go. And we're going to play another one that's untitled. But they know what it is, because it's the only one of our songs that's untitled.
Now, are you guys going to be playing any festivals this summer, like Knockenstocken or... Oxygen or...
If they'll have us, send out a request right now. If any of those festivals want to have us play, we'll absolutely do it. If you've got a main stage slot, say, last thing on a Sunday evening, we're there. We'd be more than happy to help you out if you need it, you know?
Just tell us your MySpace then or something.
MySpace, myspace.com/ Jerome's Law, all one word, like coleslaw, only with Jerome instead of Cole. In there.
Guys... There's a great buzz here tonight. There's girls walking around with their shirts almost off with writing that says Jerome's Law. We're really, really looking forward to having you play tonight. I hope it is amazing, just like you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
This is not my life. This is anyone's. If you want to get
request, then I'll give you one. If it's not right now, please let me know. If it's not my part, then I'll let it go. Let it go. What we've got right here is a mystery. I had just one love, but you had three. If it's in my power, I confess to you. Everything you claimed I was true. To try, I'll tell you the rest, but I'm gonna lie. If you get confused, please let me know. If I've gone too far, then I'll let it go. Let it go. The room if you're feeling lost.
Left without a life, but it's all we got.
If it's yours by rights, then I promise you all these wasted dreams I had to lose.
Okay, we're sitting here in the King Kong studio in RTE today with a very special guest, the rock photographer legend, young legend herself, Ruth Medjber. Hello.
Hello.
Ruth.
I like the young bit, thank you.
Yes, very young. When she reaches the age of 27, which is going to be about 15 years from
yeah.
now, she will be considered a legend, as we've just decided. For you out there who are not familiar with what Ruth does, she is amazing. She's done it all. She started off in a small record label here, and she moved up, taking photography for some of the greatest bands in the world, like Metallica and the Flaming Lips. And she now lives in London and runs the Balcony TV in London, and she's just on a roll that can't be stopped.
Aww,
it's true. I'm just going to name off
a fabulous introduction.
I'm going to name off
sure
a couple of the bands that you've taken pictures of. Is that what you call it? Photographed?
No, photographed.
photographed
bands.
I'm just kidding. I have a list in front of me of over 2,000 bands, and I just find it mm-hmm. amazing. There's Christy Moore. There's Hazel's Favorite Codes. There is, who else? Eagles of Death Metal.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, they're
what
fabulous.
What is that like?
They're fast and hairy.
Are they nice?
They're really cool. They're really nice guys. Yeah. I mean, most of the people I meet tend to just be genuinely lovely people who are really happy to be there and really happy to be shot and getting the coverage and just so friendly. And they were one of those people. And then I saw them live and I was blown away.
Because they're great.
They were. They were really
good. Do you get nervous?
The time.
Oh, God, I bet you do.
I get so nervous. But it's good nerves as well. It's taking you out of your comfort zone. I mean, it gets easier as the years go on. And you're no longer nervous about... I guess I never really was nervous about meeting a band. But it's about doing my job and not messing up and not looking like a total tool as well. It's just like, oh, no, I swear I know what I'm doing. But you do get jittery, especially if it's someone that I really love. So there's still...
Like Beyonce.
Well, yeah, I was.
Is it more nerve-wracking for like when you're doing friends bands, like, or is it?
No, it's not. I know when bands say, oh, it's really nerve-wracking when you're playing just to family and friends, but when you're shooting friends, you're shooting friends, and you can mess around and you can laugh a lot, and there's a lot of give and take and a lot of playfulness, and at times you will know that person and you will know their style, and you'll almost colour match their persona and go, I know exactly what kind of photograph you are, I'm going to photograph that. but when you come across a band who have just approached me and have said, we need you to do our promo shots or our album cover, and I don't know anything about the band, and that's when it becomes difficult, and that's when you have to sit down with their record and try and figure out what they look like. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of difficult that way, so that's a little bit more nerve wracking.
The Red Label's album cover, was that like that?
Well, I'd worked
a picture
with
a bunch of butts.
I had worked with the Red Label before. They won a prize on the King Kong Club. Do you remember that? And they won a photo shoot with me, and so I worked with them. So I kind of knew what they were about. So we sat down in a cafe, trying to think of a concept for their album cover, and I just put it on the table. I said, "Lads, there's this idea I've wanted to do for a while, and it's just a load of bums, a load of naked arses somewhere." And they're
I'm
saying,
"Looking at it now, it's great."
Yeah, and they were like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, it'll get you the attention you need. It's a little bit, you know, it's just a little bit out there, but not too much. It's, you know, tongue in cheek, excuse the pun." But so we did it. So the boys were very, very helpful. And through Facebook and through Twitter, we assembled about 30 willing naked people. And
it's mad how many people want to get naked.
So we went to the gate one afternoon, and they allowed us to use the stage, and I just lined them all up, bums out, off you go, take pictures.
Well, that's very good. Mm. Ruth, tell us about, for all the young photographers out there in King Kong Radioland, tell us about how you got started, because it's quite interesting, and now you've progressed, and just kind of give us a quick run through.
I don't know how
tour
quick
you
I
are
can
now,
be.
And then I want to go into that.
Yeah, I don't know how quick I can be, but I'll try. Basically, there was a very, very good like label, I suppose you'd call them, or a record company that used to put on underage gigs in Dublin. And when I was about 14, I was mad into music, like most 14-year-olds are. And then they started putting on these shows that you could go to every month. And I was very chatty anyway, so talking to the label boss, then he got me on stage to MC all the gigs. And then, as you do, I think it was because I was young.
I was female, I was drinking,
and I was mad into my music. So he goes, "Here, hop on stage there and, you know, chat to everybody." I was like, "Fine, I'll do that." Then he used to take the bands on tour. So, as Hazel was saying, we went down to Waterford and we'd put gigs on there and everything. And there was one of the photographers who came to one of the shows, and I always had an interest in photography, always had an interest. And I was looking at him, and I looked down at him off the stage, and I said, "I'm going to be a photographer one day." And I think I was about 14. And he turns around to me and he goes, "Yeah, well, where's your camera?" I was like,
oh, dear.
But you know who that was now? That was a guy called Roger Woolman, who now runs State Magazine. He's the publisher of State Magazine.
Great magazine.
Yeah, and he does some fantastic work. And if it wasn't for his little, you know, remark, I wouldn't. I went out and I bought a camera about a week later, my first SLR, and I was like, "Right, I'll show you. I'll start taking pictures." So then I started taking pictures of the bands, and I just adored it, absolutely adored it. Because, I mean, I can't play music, but I want to be surrounded by music, so this is a perfect way to do it.
I think that's the same kind of thing with anybody that can't play music, but loves it.
Yeah, you work in the music industry in some way. So I started taking pictures, gradually building my portfolio, applied to get into DIT which was, at the time, there was only one photography degree in all of Ireland, which was shameful. So applied, just put one.
Now there's three.
Well, there's a few now. Oh, there's
yeah,
private
C-courses and stuff as
well.
I just made that up.
But you wouldn't be far wrong, though. There's not that many. So I put down one name on my CAO. I was like, "I want to go to DIT and nothing else." And thankfully, I got it. And did 4 years studying photography. When I left, in my final year, we had a visiting lecturer who said something really slightly. He was like, "Oh, I only know one person who works in the press, and his name is so-and-so, and he works in Hot Press." And I was like, "Can I have his email address?" And got his email address and stalked him, basically. He was the photo editor of Hot Press, who is now a very good friend of mine, because he took me on. After a few weeks of me harassing him with emails, he finally agreed to meet me for a cup of tea.
Harassment.
Harassment is the way to do it.
Blackmail's next.
Yeah. And then he sent me off the next night to go photograph Roisin Murphy. So that was it.
That was my first big job.
Oh my God. I had been working, I'd always done the college papers, I'd always been approaching people.
Yeah.
You know, little magazines like the Northside People. I was 16 and I was writing to them and I was saying, you know, I'm a photographer, I'm so cool, can I please come do anything for you? I'll do it for free. And I was just eager. And yeah. I was constantly looking for ways to contact people and to get an in. So I was doing little magazines everywhere I could, free magazines, doing the college paper, which was brilliant because that gave you access to so much stuff and they treat it like a real job. And so you're sent out on assignments and you get the preparation for it. But I was always busy, massively high work ethic because if I'm any way quiet, I go mental. So I need to keep busy.
Yeah.
Just constantly at it.
Let that be a lesson to everyone out there. You have to work hard.
It's not an easy job. you're basically self-employed. So, I mean, you have to work a 50-hour week and just put the hours in.
You need to be seen to be going around as well. You can't just be sitting around your house going, maybe tomorrow someone will call me and ask me to do their photographs. Or
do all the jobs that come your way. You know, but don't sell yourself short. A lot of young photographers think that the way to do it is to do it for free, and you'll not make it anywhere. You add a value to yourself.
Yeah,
add a value to yourself. By all means, do your mates' bands for free, but if someone approaches you looking for you to do a job, then expect something. You know, 30 quid and a pint, expect something. Something small, but something.
Yeah, something just to put a value on it.
Put a value.
Now you hit the top of the market here in Ireland, and then you set sails across the Great Sea, and you went as far as London.
Not that far. You could probably swim it.
What happened when you got to London? You had a few contacts, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What took place? You got there, and you're like, okay, here I am.
I got there, and I was lost. I was completely lost. Like, literally, I was physically lost, but then in my own way, I was lost because I went with the notion of, I was thinking, I have this great portfolio now. I have such a body of work, and I could either stay and continue getting the work through Hot Press, which I could easily do because they're fabulous people to work for, and they're a big magazine here, so you do get access to a lot of bands. Or else I could try and make it over there. And I said, well, while I'm only 23, I could go, and it's probably the ideal age for me to go and mess up. If I mess up, I can always come home.
And you can always say, Pasha, I was young.
I was young. I was in my 20s. We all do these things. But I went and I spent the first 4 or 5 months in London trying to get the work. But same thing. It was basically like being back 10 years ago here. My career was back to that stage.
Yeah,
and I was making contacts, like Hazel says, going out, networking and talking to people, and I did a few pieces for Art Rocker magazine and a few little magazines, but there's no money in London for photography. Unless you are up there making commercial images for Nissan or something, you're not making money doing music photography at all.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. And then from being here and just from basically knowing half of Dublin at this stage, I knew the guys who run Balcony TV Dublin. And I was on tour with a band over here. I brought them to do the Balcony, and they turned to me and said, the Balcony said, you live in London now, don't you? I was like, yes. Facebook's great for that. Facebook tells me. Facebook will let you know. Like, I do, yeah. Facebook
Ruth
tells us.
Ruth is a Facebook queen.
Yeah. They said, yeah,
you live. And me, I'm the
I'm on status updating now as we speak. Like, no, they basically said, there's no one doing our London show. Would you like to take over Balcony TV London? And I thought it was fabulous. I said,
yeah, you're doing great there.
I love it, so I guess.
What kind of response are you getting there?
From Balcony TV London.
Yeah.
Well, you get about 50 emails a day from bands wanting to be on the show. And for anybody who doesn't know what we do, it's we invite a young or established band on to play an acoustic number for us, and we put out a show a day. So it's basically, it's very simple format, raw acoustic, edgy song, filmed on a balcony in Camden Lock. You come down, you play a song, we put it on the internet. And then it's purely viral. It gets spread around like you wouldn't know what. And
it's got like a billion hits.
Yeah, well, there's 11 million hits so far.
A billion hits.
A billion hits. I'll take that. Like, you can write our press statement for us. They've got like a billion
hits.
Like
a billion.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's where I looked.
Statistics, that's
it's up,
it.
It's up to the 12 billion mark.
But the response has been fabulous.
Now, you've been working with record labels there.
Yes, we get contacted by labels saying, please, can you put this band on or that band on? So...
Are they favoured? then because they're labels?
No,
and stuff like that,
I don't like to think they are, because I do have approval of all the bands that go on, my final approval. So our booking, our like production assistant will compile a list every week for me to listen to bands. Now I don't know who they are, what label they're signed to or anything, and I'll just listen.
Yeah.
You know, you can almost tell when you're directed to someone's MySpace if they've got...
If they're their own or their
yeah,
own
so you can kind of tell by the quality of it. But I'll always listen. And if I don't like the music, they're not getting the show.
Yeah.
Simple as.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not controlled by anybody. You know, we're not a big media corporation. We can say, no, don't
Which
like
that, that's
it.
Great, though.
To.
Yeah,
mm,
that's great
yeah.
to have that power. We're the exact same year as well.
At the moment,
we're,
yeah.
Yeah, we're not owned by anybody. We're like, yeah, let's get Ruth on.
You're owned by the state. I own
we're not.
RTE.
We sign up.
We all own RTE. It's,
yeah.
That's all for us. Taxpayers' money.
We pay the license, for God's sake.
Yeah, my radio station. I'm taking this mic home with me.
It's a nice mic.
Yeah.
Now, for a young photographer out there, would you have the same... Would you have the same patience and would you provide maybe the same role if somebody came and emailed you
constantly? I do. I talk to people a lot. I'll happily, if people want to approach me and ask for advice, I'll go and sit down and have a cup of coffee with them and go over their portfolio and give
yeah,
them...
Yeah, great like that. You really are.
Well, I just, it's only fair. I mean, it's nice
yeah.
to be nice, so why not help others out? And then half the time, these people who come to me will start working with me. So if there's a job that I can't do because I'm out of the country, I'll happily outsource it and hand it down to whoever I think
That's
is suitable.
Great. That's brilliant, yeah.
Why not?
That's
like, you know, it's difficult enough to get into this job, so why not make it a tiny bit easier? And
it's
the people
who
yeah.
you know and networking and all that kind
it
of
is.
Stuff. More
it's,
than what you know, I think.
Just get
business,
off your arse
so.
And go to a gig
yeah.
and take
yeah.
pictures of the band and send it to the band after and say, look at me, these are brilliant. And by all means, talk to people. Go
yeah.
and talk to the lead singer. Find out who the manager is. Talk to them. Introduce yourself. Get business cards done. It's just self-promotion.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Constant. I remember your business cards. They're a little square or rectangle things.
They're old school now. I've got new Bantam
oh,
TV ones now, yeah. There you go. I've got stacks and stacks of them. It's always worth to have it, like. And even if you're out of a business card, take out your eyeliner and write your number on someone's hand.
Yeah,
I've done that, like.
Hey.
Yeah. Well, no. That's when you cross the line, Hazel. And that's the stages of becoming a groupie and not a professional.
Oh,
which,
right,
which,
okay.
Which we but tend
you
can
be
to
be a professional groupie.
Professional groupie.
I think
no,
they've got other
no,
words
no,
for that person.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going
that's,
to say.
Yeah. There's a different word for that.
Yeah.
So you're back in Dublin now for just a couple of days before you go back to London.
I come back.
You come
every
back
every so often.
Yeah,
I come back
for
say
work,
every 3 weeks
it?
And I'll shoot. So I was shooting yesterday and I'm going to shoot. Actually, I'm shooting tomorrow, but I'm being shot. So.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was really the first time since I was doing a magazine interview and getting shot for it. So
that's great.
I'll be the other side of the lens, which is quite scary.
You're going to be all judgmental and stuff like that. Going,
no.
Oh,
please don't make my belly an issue. Do this.
God,
no.
From the right side instead of the left.
Do I look okay? Yeah, very nerve-wracking.
Now, Ruth, being is so in the music industry and the music scene and having a taste for up-and-coming bands, who do you think is the pick for the summer? What band do you think is going to... be the big one?
I should have thought about this because I knew you'd ask me.
I know that you have your favourites.
I have my favourites that come through Balcony TV. So, I mean, a lot of them will be international then.
Yeah.
So
Lazy Habits.
Oh, yeah, Lazy Habits. They've been on to me. They're another band as well that who, like, bands come to me and ask me for advice on PR and how the press works. And I'll do that. And I'm going to meet a band that you recommended to me last week. I'm going to meet them next week in London and go, well, this is what I know. I'll gladly share the information. This is how to build
yeah.
a press pack and how to do
there
this.
There needs to be more people like that.
Yeah, people, you know, share it.
I tend to pass people on to other people if I can.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that person's in the same area as that person. So do you know what I'll do? I'll talk to the both of them and then I get the both of them involved and everything's fine.
And that's the way it should be. Yeah,
exactly.
You're putting people in touch. That's
yeah.
grand.
Connecting people.
So bands that I think are going to be big. Well, we had a great band on the balcony the other day called Mother, and they're
yeah,
fabulous.
Yeah, you're saying about how amazing they were.
They were brilliant. I loved them.
They're from Canada,
yeah. And they were so much fun. And they have a song called Oh My Heart. It's like, aww. Yeah, exactly. And I think I was presenting that show.
I'm surrounded by girls in
yeah.
this
room. Oh, my heart.
I
have another band from Brighton called Sweet Sweet Lies. They're really good. A band called Kids Love Lies. They're so much fun. She's a tiny little girl in the band. She looks like Stacey Slater, but they rock it. So
that's great.
There's a few for you. That's from London. So
and what do you think is going to happen in the Irish music industry? especially now that you're outside of it. I know when I left the States, I definitely could see, I could see trends and things I couldn't see while being in the heart of it. Living here, I'm in the heart of it.
Yeah.
But if I was to move away, I would see, like, oh, wow, look how it's going.
I haven't really been extracted from it completely because I still keep in touch, you know? I still obviously read Hot Press and still, you know, Facebook. You can't get away from bands that are making, you know, making headway over here. But I think it's the same thing that's always going to happen with the Irish music scene. It'll plod on in its own little bubble and it'll be pretty much self-sustainable. And that's what happens. There's always a market for a certain type of performer at a certain time. You know, there's always going to be one brilliant underground folk artist and there's always going to be one promising pop band. And it'll always plod along like that. And then you will get certain bands who are more ambitious and who will make the move across the water, be it trying to crack America or in the UK. And they're the bands that will either come home tails between their legs and give up, or they'll put the extra work into it and really think of it more like a business, and then they will, please God, make it. You know, they're the bands who you'll be reading about in NME rather than reading about them in Hot Press.
Yeah,
that's the difference. Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
fantastic.
So it's always just trying to be ambitious in both fields, in all fields. Just have ambition and go for it, and never be afraid to go for it. Constantly.
Yeah, be a tiger.
Don't be afraid for people to say no.
Yeah.
Well, don't let them say no.
Just go, okay, fine, and move on.
No, don't let them say no. Don't give them any reason to make an offer they can't refuse. And just be...
Mascara on the arm, is it?
There you go.
Now, Ruth, very quickly, tell everybody in Radio Land how they can go see your work.
Because nobody can spell or pronounce my surname, because I've got quite an unusual one, that I...
It's South African.
No, it's North African. Okay. Close, darling, but no cigar. if you either Google Ruth Medjberg, because I'm the only one, or you Google Ruthless Imagery, you'll find me. It's quite easy. So ruthlessimagery.com, or I'm on Facebook, MySpace.
It's well worth checking out some great shots of bands on there. Why, I'm just looking at now.
Yeah, or
the
pick
one
up
of the
Hot
Flaming
Press.
Lips is just, that's...
That's probably my favourite.
Yeah, do they use that shot?
Do the Flaming Lips?
Yeah.
No, sure.
They should. That's probably the best shot I've ever seen.
I shot that for Hot Press. Yeah, I shot that for Hot Press, and that was probably the best gig I've ever been to. It was just incredible. Flaming Lips put on a show, and I got Wayne in his bubble looking at me, held up by 50 fans. I was like, oh. And I knew when I took the shot, I was like, oh, that's a keeper.
That's the only one that's my favourite.
Bad thing is that there was like a ball guy right in front of me, and you could... Your attention goes straight to his bald spot instead of Flaming Lips, so that was a bit of retouching needed.
Did you give him hair?
I gave him hair. I'm not afraid to give people hair.
Oh, there's a great picture of Martin McCann there. I see that. That's probably from Sack.
Yeah,
I was in that band that day.
You were?
I was, yeah.
I liked his showmanship. He came right up to the camera and pointed down the lens.
He's very good.
Mm.
So, one question I forgot to ask was, what was the most interesting band that you've ever taken shots of, the most interesting situation you've been in?
Interesting.
Shall I say dangerous?
Oh, it's danger. Slash hit me with his guitar once.
Nice.
Yeah, on the stage. But he said sorry, so that was okay.
He said, talked to you.
Yeah, he said, sorry. He smacked me in the face with the guitar. And I was like, oh, kind of serves me right.
What were you trying to take a picture of?
Oh, it's just the generals going on of the thing. And he just swung around and smacked me. And Beck stood on my fingers. I've had quite the list of injuries. Beck, I shoot one-handed, so I had one hand holding me up to the side of the stage, and Beck come and stood on my fingers. And he also said sorry, so you kind of have to forgive them, don't you?
Everyone talks to Ruth.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if you injure someone, it's quite nice.
What was it like shooting Metallica?
Fast.
Was it fast? Yeah.
But they're very aware of what needs to be done. So you get 3 songs to shoot a band at a gig. So not many people know that. They always think that, oh, you get to sit up in that press area the whole time. It's like, no, you get carted in. You get 3 songs, very, very fast songs, and then you get thrown out again. So you have to be on the ball, and you have to know your equipment, and you have to be ready to shoot. And but Metallica are such a massive production now that they are very aware that the photographers are there for 3 songs, so they slow it down for the first 3, and that's when the pyro goes, and you know, that's before the sweat breaks on his forehead. And actually, that Metallica gig was my very first cover, And I was amazed because I was using the most oldest equipment I had ever had. And, you know, by all means, I shouldn't have got that shot, but it just happens.
Yeah, it's a great shot.
It was good for me. I didn't even know it was going to be on the cover of Hot Press until I think my mum rang me. Or someone rang me and she's like, I'm reading Hot Press and I see your name is down as doing the cover. I was like, that must be a typo. No, mum. And then I rocked across the local newsagents and lo and behold, there was a big A3 poster in the window of my picture and I stood there going, oh my God. I think it was about 20 at the time or something. So it was ridiculous.
That was like yesterday.
Oh yeah, sorry, I'm really young, aren't I?
That must be great. Well, Ruth, listen, thank you very, very much for coming down to our show
pleasure.
Today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and have a fantastic career.
Oh, thank you.
And definitely out there, check out her work. It's amazing.
Oh, you're too kind. Very good.
Panels on the wall and there's no one talking. Junior's at the ball with the girl he's stalking. I don't know anybody gets around like you. She's talking like an angel and biting like a devil. When she's caught in a corner made of stone or metal, with no arrest to turn. Damn, honey, got it all going on tonight. Damn, honey, got it all going on. Changing, but the habits ain't breaking. Love lost, trust in a word that's taken her this far. She got caught in a moment and stuck on further. Learn to run or dive, her another cause ain't worth a second.
That's it, that was show number 8. Just a big thanks to all the bands played here today. We had April Space, Simon Fagan, Ninja's Boot, Jerome's Law, and we had a lovely chat with rock photographer Ruth Medjberg. Want to give a big shout out to the good guys at Music Maker for all their gear, The Village on Wexford Street, Bradley Chillis Gillis, Ivor Lynch, and Hazel Davis doing whatever it takes each week to make sure this show is played on time. And of course, RTE 2XM. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to hear two other shows, type in King Kong Radio into iTunes or Pod-O-Matic, and you will have a world of our shows. Keep supporting local music at this level, and we'll see you and hear you next week. Bye-bye.
Stop your talking. You don't know what it's like. Damn, money got it all going on tonight. Damn, money got it all going on. Fiery eyes, a heavy man, to move fast on your feet if you want to catch that. Her beauty's so skimmed.